Hey everyone, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Andrea, or as most people call me, Anj.
And this is Trendish.
We'll be covering relationships, faith, leadership, health, and everything in between. I'll definitely troll.
And I'll probably cry.
And we're so glad you're here to witness the whole thing.
Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
We're back. It's been a minute, Anj. We've been on sabbatical or what?
We said that, I think, on the last episode, so you know, I don't know if we can, I don't think we can use that twice.
We've been using it for about a year.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but, like, doing a podcast is a bit harder when you're not quarantined.
Locked up? Yeah. I think the whole world who started a podcast a year and a half ago isn't the same boat we are.
But, you know, some people have said, like, hey, good job. You've got, like, over 20 episodes. Like, that's really good.
Yeah, do you remember that one podcast stat I gave you the one time? I'll find it later.
That's all you're giving me?
Yeah. Well, I've only given you one podcast stat in our whole career. So I really thought you'd remember it, but...
No, I don't.
That's awesome, so you don't. But it was basically, in a synopsis, it was like, just keep going. Because if you just keep going, you're going to produce more than really anyone else does.
Because... this is good for me. The inconsistency of this is good for me. Because I care so much about being responsible. Like, I need to just, like, go with the wind.
Be free. Oh, we've gone with the wind. I mean, we've taken the wind all the way to,
the
like, the Middle East.
The wind has taken us, and I'm not sure
we're pretty
come back.
Far out there. Yeah, we're definitely riding with the wind.
Well, we came back strong, and we have a great guest. She needs no introduction.
She doesn't, though I should probably still introduce her for those who don't know her. And if you don't know her, wow.
You should. You're going to want to. You're going to be influenced by her.
I'm sure you already follow her on social media.
You're probably going to be a Modere girl after this. Anj, please introduce our guest.
I have tears in my eyes. I'm like embarrassed and they can't even see me.
Coming all the way from 71st and Yale. down the rough roads of Tulsa County.
Oh, man. I can't
here
promise.
Here to Midtown.
I've lived a long life.
I'm going to preface, I cannot promise the audio is going to be awesome on this.
Oh, it's going to be awful.
I can promise you're going to want to hang out with us. So stick
listen,
around.
I grew up in theater. Okay.
Oh my god.
My voice carries, and I'm sorry.
She truly doesn't need an intro.
This is one of the best intros you've given thus far. Meeting us all the way in Midtown, our Enneagram 7, Wing 8, big Enneagram. I mean, in another life, we could interview her again on the Enneagram, big Enneagram girl.
Big Enneagram.
Co-worker of mine. In fact, this might be like the 18th co-worker of mine brought on here. But hey, come work for Paradigm Shift, because apparently we are popular.
Is this your recruitment tool?
This is my recruitment tool. Interested? We're hiring. So just reach out to me.
I get a text like every other week. Hey, do you know any accountants? Like, feel free to send them my way.
Actually, shout out to accountants. We need one. So come my way. Olivia Mangum, she is our everything really at Paradigm Shift. Culture creator, influencer, facilitator, people, person, radio spokesman, host, which is what she does on Zoom.
Are you the internal events person?
Yeah.
Yeah, internal events. I mean, all the things. She does all the things, and specifically all the things with people.
Yeah.
Is how you could pretty much summarize Olivia Mangum in a nutshell. She has two sweet little boys. I'll let you introduce them more, but Isaiah and Benjamin, Benji, we love him. Mm-hmm. And, well, we like Mikey too, that's her husband, but he doesn't really do much of an introduction.
He's pretty cute.
He's pretty cute. Yeah. People like him, so that's great, but, you know, we like Olivia more around here. So.
Pretty likable couple.
Oh, yeah, they're for sure a likable couple.
Oh, you guys are nice.
If you
live to say that because I'm your guest.
And no, if you live in the city of Tulsa, I'd actually like to see a hand if you don't know who they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Most people know Mikey, which is
might
infuriating.
Well.
Yeah, and I was born and raised here, so.
He was born and raised in
Falkirk, Scotland.
Yeah.
He grew up in Scotland?
Well, he was born in Scotland, and then he grew up in Derby, England.
I was going to say, he just came over. Scottish accent.
Yeah, he came over when he was 18 to play college basketball at OU.
Holla. I'm a big ORU basketball fan these days.
Also, she works for ORU, so she's a big ORU fan as well.
Don't you have to be?
No.
Sure.
She's like actually a true fan.
I know the players.
She could be, well, I mean, you do work there, so that makes sense.
No, you guys, I have went to more games this year than my collective time at ORU in the last, like, decade.
Yes. Also, this is the only time they've been good in our collective time at ORU.
It's the only time to watch them, so.
Don't tell Mikey.
They were good that one, like, in the very beginning of us starting at ORU. Actually, when Mikey was on the team, and then they kind of... went downhill. Yeah. So.
Okay. But then you guys went dancing last year.
We sure did. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've really been a fan since then. Wouldn't say since day one. Wouldn't say a day one or.
I had to go to Indy, an Ooh. Interview. Do you know that I've never interviewed? Like, I'm an imposter. Okay.
You lead a podcast.
Yeah, but not. I was like, wait, I'm sorry.
What
are you saying?
No. Not
people
like,
literally only compliment us on your questions.
No, you guys.
That's like the only compliment.
That's the only comments we get.
Man, Ange, like, yeah, she is loud and maybe questions. I left, but wow, Jamie. Oh, just such deep questions. I'm so glad she said that. I'm so glad she went
you
there.
Guys,
I've never interviewed.
Have you ever gone up to somebody with a microphone, like, on TV, where they're like, can you tell me about the game?
I think Olivia probably has.
I probably have a different life. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so who are you? What didn't we say about you that you
oh
want
Oh my gosh,
your
so many fun
now.
Facts that are coming to my head that I actually can't slow down now, so I'm going to... You have to introduce yourself or I'm going to give so many facts for the world.
Go ahead, girl.
People are either going to love this or they're going to be like, I'm
missing out. Absolutely hate it. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry to those of you that
the one fun fact I just have to say is that Olivia, this is not a true or false question. It is true, and she literally used to clean up crime scenes with her father.
Sorry?
That was a job she had. It is my most fun fact about Olivia at Paradigm Shift, because people think that, I think it's like a true or false question on something we have, like, true or false, one of our staff members used to clean up crime scenes. You would think it's true, because why else would we be asking it?
Like, yeah, that's so like, random. Wow, that is so specific.
Wait, like, what specifically are you cleaning up? Like, blood?
Yeah.
Like, crime, are you cleaning
up? Jamie, crime scenes.
Now looking back at me, then I'm like, what?
But I'm like, okay, you could be like ripping off the caution tape. You know what I mean?
No.
But
she
you're
was
like,
I am living the caution
okay,
tape.
No,
okay,
no, what we're gonna link to this show is the one of you
the
in your outfit.
Of me in my outfit. I knew you were gonna say something about
we
that.
We are linking that to the show.
So, long story, really short.
Yeah.
My dad owned a crime and trauma scene cleanup service. Like, it was like Sunshine Cleaners. Like, it was like...
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Because he had medical background, so he was like a paramedic, a flight nurse, worked in the trauma ICU, blah, blah, blah. But, like, when he was a paramedic, he would go into these situations, and these parents of kids would have to clean up suicides or, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is just... Family shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll do it. And so he made a whole business out of it. And It was very normal conversation in our household. It was just like, I mean, it was like a 24-hour thing. He would just call us and be like, all right. We had to get, like, certified. So, like, I'd have, like, my bloodborne pathogen, to, like, pass that and have my certifications and stuff to make sure that I was, like, okay.
My eyes
cleaning
are wide.
This up.
I told you my most fun
but it, I never.
Are you wearing like a suit?
Oh yes, from the head to the toe. Okay, if you think like Breaking Bad when they were like making
yes,
a mess,
that's what it is.
That's what I had on. But you don't want that stuff touching you. You can touch anything when you've got that stuff on.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I am invincible, so yeah. I'll just do this.
Okay.
Other than smell, it wasn't that bad. So
wow, so it didn't stop you from smelling, like being able to smell.
If I could choose to never smell it again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we started off with just natural deaths. Like, he was like, my dad's like, I remember sitting me down and saying, you have to promise me you are not going to take me on Dr. Phil one day and say how much I ruined your life if you want to do this. Like, my older brother started doing it.
Yeah.
And we had to get to, like, a certain age before we, like, did, like, suicides and stuff like that. And, and like, homicides and things like that.
So, does your dad still do it?
No. He actually went, he was a medical contractor in Afghanistan, left his company to a partner, and he kind of just let the ball drop. And so my dad came back, and then he was like, it's just...
Yeah.
They lost a really, really big contract because of the guy, and it just...
Dang.
Yeah, tanked, but...
Wow. That is...
Fascinating, huh?
Yeah.
That's the best fun fact we've ever had on the show, so...
I'm full of them.
She's actually full of so many more.
But that was the weirdest. That was the most odd. Awesome. Like, if you know me now, they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, we did meth labs. Like, I mean, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Me in high school cleaning this up. Through college,
I'm
I did
sure
this.
It was a wild ride.
It was.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else that you think would be, like, helpful for people to know besides that CSI type fact?
Well, because of that, I wanted to be in the FBI. I was ready to go to Quantico. I mean, I knew all the physical requirements. Uh-huh. That's what I was going to go to college for. The Lord had other plans.
What did you graduate with?
Spanish language and advertising.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Told you.
Real diverse group. Yeah. I'm telling you, the diversity is wide.
Have you ever used your degree, like, directly?
Directly? Yeah.
A bunch.
Yeah.
All the time.
I worked in advertising for years.
Okay.
But I also, I mean, I've been on a million mission trips using Spanish. And
also, LOL, you translated our Spanish conference, like, for work currently. Her current job, she's using, advertising and the marketing part, too. Olivia was our first ever hired marketing director at Paradigm Shift, way before I was there.
You've had a marketing director?
Yes. On the desk that I currently sit at, because I stole Olivia's desk while she's on maternity leave, it says Olivia Mangum, Director of Marketing. And it's been sitting in front of me for honestly like months. And Kat the other day goes, crazy. Wait, Olivia's a marketing director? And I was wow. Would you look at that, actually?
Somebody needs to talk to your boss. His name is Jared. And we need to talk about that.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
she
came from advertising.
Very different.
They're different. But if you don't know they're different, I would have put her. I mean, yeah. Actually, she still could be that. But they're different.
I actually am a director of marketing. So I do. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you don't want to toot your own horn, but toot. We see you, girl.
But, like, you hire the Olivias. Like, you, like, work with the advertising. Yeah. Like, you outsource advertising.
The client, usually.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
For, like, the more creative. Like, advertising, marketing is, like, the numbers and, like, the strategy. Mm-hmm. And then advertising is a different type of strategy and the psychology in, like, the creative.
I gotta get in advertising.
Girl.
You honestly, you do.
I do.
It's a blast.
You do.
It is wild.
Well, what's so hard for me is, like, how fast-paced it is. Like, if you sit on something for more than, like, 2 days, you're irrelevant. And that's...
I was in social media marketing.
Oh, never. You could not pay me $1 million.
I know. I did it for, like, 2 years, and I was like,
no.
I am depressed, and I can't ever put my phone down.
Yes. So. I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe helpful, like, what is your background? Like, where has life taken you thus far?
Thus far?
Your short bio.
Yeah, I went to TU, graduated with Spanish language, literature, and then advertising, worked in advertising for a handful of years. Because of my Spanish background, Paradigm Shift actually asked if I would come out and do, like, a parents' night, because all of the... in, like, Salt Lake City or something. And it was, like, when their early years. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we just need someone to just be there. And I was like, okay. I had never been to anything Paradigm Shift. Like, anything.
Yeah.
And they sent me out there. And we did a parent night. And I was like, people, like, get paid to do this? Like, just, like, talk, like...
People still can't believe it.
Not just to translate, but just, like, I don't know, like...
Put on an event.
Just the event is like, hey, you can be more than what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like there was like this more, like there's like this deeper like...
Purpose.
Mm-hmm. And so I was in advertising for years and it was just like, I was just trying to make the most money for these.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm handling hundreds of thousands of dollars in budgets.
Yeah.
And I'm just at this school talking to these parents that are first generation college students that will be, you know, that...
Yeah.
And they just don't know what they don't know. And I'm like...
I can help you.
Yeah.
I have the answers that could change the trajectory of your kid's life.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing? So I went back 2 weeks later. I put my 2 weeks in.
Oh, wow.
This is Olivia's.
I mean, I was like, when I am all, like, I
just
have
to. Way?
Well, it takes me a little bit to work up to it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like once the switch flips, I am all in, or I'm not in at all. And so I felt like, I honestly, not to spiritualize it, but I felt like the Lord was kind of leading me to it. And it was like, and like you said, advertising is fast paced. I'm like, am I supposed to continue to do this? And I felt like the Lord was like, you need to stay here until I opened a different door. And I kept putting myself out there for the doors, you know? I was like, hey, yay. I loved my coworkers, but man, It was just, I mean, the mental was just hard. And so, yeah, I love it. I love what we do. I love what we get to do and who we get to impact. And that it feels bigger than me.
Yeah.
And that was important to me, so. So, yeah, I've been doing that. I started at the Director of Marketing for, like, I don't know, 6 months. And, yeah, kind of have switched roles a lot and have ended up as, like, the culture development, soft skills. Not the in the weeds HR, but, like, mm-hmm. the fun side of the HR. You know
soft
what I'm
skills.
Saying?
Sounds
soft
like skills. The right side to be on. Mm-hmm. We need your side, Ange. Mm-hmm. We need it.
We need it.
But I don't want to be it.
I don't want to be it either, girl.
You wouldn't believe how much we've learned
oh,
in 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, yeah. It's a blast.
You're also the internship director, too.
I'm also the internship director, yeah.
Over recruitment, stuff like that, so.
Yeah.
Really multi-talented.
We got 60 really college interns from all over the United States coming.
What a blessing.
Coming to be.
It is.
College students are a blast.
They
as
are.
As you know.
Yeah. There is something to be said about working with college kids.
I mean, the Lord has to call you to it.
Oh,
you
he
know?
Sure does.
He, amen.
Yeah.
I love them. Like,
but once he calls you to it, you can't get out.
Yeah, and I don't want to do
so
the work without them.
Yeah.
Because if I lose them, I lose, like, really the heart of like, what I'm doing.
Well, especially you.
Yeah. Sure. I was like,
really hard to have a college without a college student.
Yeah, yeah. We don't exist without
yeah.
a college student.
Yeah.
Really hard.
But honestly, we wouldn't either.
No. Yeah, well, there's no way to be able to reach the level of impact, especially in the summer, without
I felt
shit.
Like before I had kids, everyone thought I was still in college, which I was like,
yeah, that makes
you
sense.
Know, I still got it, you know. Two kids in, and they're like, oh no, she's for sure a mom. Like, she's probably in charge. Like, and now she's say, like, you're like in this group of, like, girls, and they're like, oh yeah, she's definitely, she's got the mom bod, she's ready to go, you know? Like, she probably has an answer, and if she doesn't, she knows who to talk to.
I have a mom bod, and I don't have kids.
Okay, stop. Oh my gosh.
So dramatic.
That's not me looking for any sort of response. I'm just saying. I'm in the club with you guys.
You're in the club. Do people come and ask you for
actually,
for advice?
You are in the club of the club. Responsibility.
I am.
You,
you
exude
are.
Confidence, though. Like, you're like, no, I run this.
Yeah,
you know?
Then you get to know me, and it's like, whoa.
Whoa. I haven't said that yet.
Okay, so we're here to talk about identity and motherhood. Ange, kick us off.
Well, after that introduction, just throw me the easy one.
Yeah.
We want to talk about, and honestly, Olivia, we didn't even get into more of it. I just continued to think of even more things as well, but has really been all over the planet, all over the world, done a lot of different things. I'm not going to speak for her, but I would imagine motherhood's probably the most wild, biggest blessing. Most wild, maybe biggest challenge, though.
Please tell me about what happened tonight.
And so,
I got slapped in the face by my 2-year-old.
Which,
so,
honestly, if you
yeah.
haven't been there, I don't know. God
you,
bless
you. If
you've
been there,
kid.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a different kid. So, but there is a really easy temptation in any kind of parenting, not even just motherhood, but in parenting, to allow parenting to be almost all-consuming, mm-hmm. become your full identity, even if you do other things. The reason when sometimes I will realize is my identity too much in motherhood is, and I do this with my identity in anything, but is, like, if I feel like my kids' failures are a reflection of me, right? Mm. So we just talked about my child,
sure.
who is basically just being terrible in school. Awful, terrible.
Six
never thought
lights.
You'd have the kid.
Six red lights.
Never thought it'd be him, you know. And I'm getting on to him so hard, and I'm realizing I care so much more about what they think about me as a parent than
yeah.
I am worried about
sure.
why he is.
Yeah.
Well, I was worried as well about why he's misbehaving.
Yeah.
But really, more of my motivation in, like, fix this, is so, like, oh, they don't come for me. Like, they
yeah.
don't think I'm a bad parent,
yeah.
right? And so there's a constant tension of that in our whole world. I think there's a lot we do to try and get away from this, only identifying ourselves as mother or father, or a parent, or a guardian, or whatever the responsibility of that looks like in your life.
Like, just the perception of, like, who people think you are.
And the perception
whatever.
Sometimes is even harder to fight than the identity itself. I think.
I completely agree.
Like, honestly, it's like, I mean, we've talked about it here before, but like, friends you lose just because they decide for you, oh, she's too busy to hang out.
Sure.
Oh, she doesn't want to get drinks. We're not even going to invite her. Like, well, let me freaking decide. Even if I say no two times, I might say yes on the third one.
Yeah.
Like, caveat, I can't tell you how many times I've said it. I know. No, it's my soapbox.
But the caveat is, if I know you're busy, I'm not inviting you.
Okay. Okay. No, Jamie, we're not doing this. No, we're not doing this right
now. Is this y'all's first fight? Because this is, do I need to peacemake this?
Number 34 out of 34 on my strengths finders is includer. I'm not inviting you, okay? If I know...
I'm dead.
The thing is...
The thing is, you,
it is our lowest. And it shows.
I do not show my love by including you.
She's like, I actually would prefer not to hang out with you ever.
I don't need everybody to be there.
So let me reiterate this, because we just get to the end of the question still. But let me just say, if I am like out, if I am in the state of New York and you're getting together with someone, no, I don't expect you to say, Ange, I hope you're here. Can you come? Like, can you fly? No, I don't expect that.
That's happened to
me. But if you just assume... It's a Saturday night, like, Ange is busy.
Agreed.
No, you can't just assume that. No. You don't know if I'm busy or not. You don't know if I'm dying to get out of the house, like Olivia was just talking about.
Dying to get out of the house. Yeah.
I am just searching for an invite.
Yeah, for sure.
God bless the listeners. This is going to be a horribly, horribly audio.
I'll start whispering.
Season.
Here we are, folks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you've communicated to me that you are not free, like if you told me like you're hanging out with somebody else or you have other plans, I'm not going to feel bad because I didn't invite you.
Okay, sure, that is different. Yeah. I'm talking about when you make the assumption like, oh, it's Saturday and
when
I'm sure Olivia doesn't
want to
hang out.
When you don't know what she's doing and you just assume
because
she doesn't want to hang out. Yeah,
agreed.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, the perception sometimes is even harder than just the identity yourself fighting that. So yeah.
Well, you don't even have a chance to fight it.
Right.
Yeah. And honestly,
is the hurtful thing usually.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh, you didn't even ask. Like, I would love to go get drinks with you tonight.
Yeah. Do you want to be included all the time?
I love the option of being included.
Mm-hmm.
I love the option of being included.
Okay.
I mean, but I think everyone wants...
I can grow.
But I... No. This is an attack on your character, Jamie. Okay? No. I think everyone wants to feel wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, inherently.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to say, like, hey... I know you're going to say no, but I just want to let you know we're doing this tonight if you want to come.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're right, I can't come tonight, but thank you for telling me. Mm-hmm. But that way when I see pictures on Instagram or something, or like, you guys have like all of a sudden this new inside joke that I wasn't a part of, I'm not like, oh, you know, like I'm not like, that really hurt. It's just like, well, you tried, like,
but
I had the opportunity.
Some people aren't that mature. They still feel bad. And I
we're
will
in our
say
30s,
like,
get over it.
Well,
there's a lot I want to say about it. Yeah, we're in our 30s.
It is a lot.
Well, you're in your 30s. I'm definitely not. So.
Oh, sorry,
I still get 2 years of I'm gonna embrace the immaturity. The immaturity of my 20s, so I'm gonna own that. I do think as especially a younger mom, like a mom with really young kids, or you're in Olivia's in the season of a newborn. I mean, Isaiah's how many weeks?
Eight
weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Isaiah's 8 weeks and Benji's 2.
I'm triggered by your birth story.
Well, we can have a whole podcast on that.
Yeah, we're not going to get into it, but if you want to follow Olivia
What's
on
crazy
Instagram,
is
you
people
can.
Keep telling me, they're like, wow, you had such a traumatic birth. I don't associate that with trauma.
Well, that's because you went to a trauma specialist.
No, I didn't.
No, Isaiah did.
My son did. Isaiah because did. Apparently he had a traumatic birth. I went, huh, must be nice. Anyways. He was stuck in there for 44 hours. What else is he going to do?
SOS.
Honestly, that's a nightmare. SOS. That really is. That really is.
Send help.
But so you're in that season of that.
Sure.
Sometimes I honestly think you almost need the invite. Like, I don't see where I'm really using you as an example because you're one in my life that does have a really young baby right now. But I don't necessarily see you. You will if you really needed it. But like being like, oh, I'm going to set this night up for myself. To go out with all these people.
Yeah, no way.
Number one, that's more work. Like, we don't have time.
Oh,
you do not have time.
Oh, my gosh.
This kid's still eating all of your time. You
I'm
have time to plan
to spit
it.
Up. That's the last thing.
Yeah, like,
I'm
you're not
going
to do that. And then there's also, like, your spouse on the other side of it. Right. Like, oh, then I have to, like, ask him, make sure he's okay. When something is more so, like, handed to you, though, number one, I think it's almost, this is crazy, but sometimes I think it's easier to ask your spouse, like, they invited me, they want me on this a
is,
podcast.
This is already happening. It's happening with or without me, honey. I gotta go. I got a jet.
He's like, well, like, I guess.
Yeah, like, I can't, yeah, you know. And honestly, I think, like, both of our spouses are great. We don't even need the excuse of that.
No, he's super helpful. But and he loves it when I hang out with my girlfriends.
Yes. And so, but sometimes for ourselves, it's almost just easier. Like, it is happening. I can actually just ask and do this thing. So also on the inclusion side, sometimes we need it. And maybe that's half of it. But what have you found to help you in the thick of the motherhood piece to somehow find something to separate yourself from this, I am only a mom. That is my whole...
Man, when you feel like that is your only identity, which, it's a blessing. Like, I love being a mom. Mm-hmm. I love it. It is such a gift. And it's one of the hardest jobs on the planet that I wouldn't trade for the world. Mm-hmm. But when you find your identity in that, like, it's just so, gosh, what's the word that I'm looking, you're a mom. It's draining. Like, when you lose your, it's just like marriage. Like, I mean, if you aren't content in your singleness, you will not be content in your marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, if you cannot find your contentment outside of what you do and what you, you know, produce, like, you'll never really find yourself outside of that, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I in dating, you know, like, when you're dating someone, and then you get married, they ask you to marry them because of who they dated. Mm-hmm. And so when you're hanging out with your friends and having a blast and you know, like, I don't know, just being you and doing things that you enjoy to do and having hobbies and stuff like that. And then you get in a marriage and all of a sudden, like, your whole life becomes your spouse and you stop hanging out with your friends. Like, that is so sad to me. Like, I see people do it all the time. Yeah. And it would, like, break my heart because I'm like, that's, you're not you anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, and Mikey and I talk about that a lot, like, he's like, I want you to continue to do those things. I want you to continue to have those friends because that's who I married. Mm-hmm. Like, that is who I married. I didn't marry, you know, the you. Now, you can grow, but, like, I didn't marry the you that's like, my whole life is my husband now. Mm-hmm. Or my whole life are my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's really easy to fall into that. And I get it. Like, it's like my life is my, I mean, I'm on maternity leave right now. Yeah. So, like, my life is really my kids right now.
Yeah.
But man, I love my job. I love what I do. And I feel like I'm a better mom and wife when I go to work and I come home and I have, like, I'm still myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I still have that mm-hmm. I can share with my family.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's, like, a level of what does our life look like 20 years from now when our kids aren't there anymore.
Yeah, right.
And if it's going to be really hard to find contentment in that season, there is going to be grief in that season. Sure. Like, whether we're working moms, whether we're stay-at-home moms. You grieve
every season that ends.
Yeah, like, that is, don't hear me wrong in that. That's grief no matter what, and no matter what you did to set yourself up with anything like that. So yes. But I do ask myself, what am I also doing for myself? Well, number one, that my kids could be proud of, it might be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
It might be a working mom. It might be a combination of the two. But regardless of that stereotype, and I feel like that's, like, what I want to give us the permission of to free ourselves from here, because we're not saying, oh my gosh, if you're the best way to not find your identity in being a mom is it's being a working mom. No, I think you can.
No, absolutely.
That is actually.
And I feel like opposite. I found that even on maternity leave this go around.
Yeah.
Well, COVID. My first kid was, like, at the peak of COVID, so I was like, all right, everybody's quarantined. everybody's identity is COVID. It's just like, you're probably sick. I don't really want to be around you. Yeah. But this go-around, I feel like it's been a lot different. I mean, I feel like I've just really poured into relationships that of other moms that are on maternity leave, and they're like, who are we without our job? I mean, it's the same way. It's like, well, who are we when we don't have co-workers to hang out with all day? Like, mm-hmm. you just have to figure that out. Like, mm-hmm. like, what's your base? Mine is faith. And so, like, if I don't have a quiet time or if I'm not in the word, like, it's like, that's,
that's where my foundation is. And so everything else from kind of stems from that. Mm-hmm. And so, I've just had a blast just loving on my friends that were on maternity leave or stay-at-home moms that I never get to hang out with because I'm at work, you know? And so, they're going on a walk or they're going to the park. I'm like, hey, what are you doing today, girl? I'm like, I've never been able to do this. Like, it has been so, and I'm like, I'm never going to be able to do this again.
What
so
I'm hearing is she wants to continue doing that.
Yes. So, anyways, I feel like that this time around with this kid has been a lot better for me emotionally, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the baby blues
early
on and just, like, the hormonal craziness. Once you recover and once your kid's not colic anymore, like mine, once you kind of, like, figure that out, you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I get the stay-at-home mom vibe. Like, I get it. Could I do it? Yes. Do I want to still do it? Maybe. I don't know. But also, I'm like, I love being a working mom, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean.
And there's even seasons to both. Like, when your kids are really young, you might choose to stay home. When your kids are really old, you might choose to work. You might choose to be a stay-at-home mom literally for your whole life. Yeah. The what I find myself always wrestling with, and this is just the reason why I choose to work, is I just never want my identity to be so wrapped up in one or the other, because it can also be wrapped up in the other way, like in work, that my kids 10 years from now I resent, if that makes sense. And John and I have had these conversations about each other. Like, we're doing all this now. We're trying to really hold all these different pieces of life right now. Are you going to resent me later? You don't right now, but we're holding so much and doing so much and it's going so fast. Will you resent me later? Mm. Because we haven't slowed down to look and think about, like, what we need to do right now.
Yeah.
And I guess that would be my challenge, no matter where you find yourself on the motherhood scale, is that slowdown piece of, am I going to resent myself later? Am I going to resent my spouse later? Am I going to resent my kids later? Because I'm giving, it is so easy to give more than we have as a mom.
Right.
Actually, we do. We give more than we have. Because we have infant. I have to. Lorenzo can't pick himself up. I have to give more to him than he can give to himself.
And then you feel guilty because you wish you could give him even more. you're guilty if you work. You feel guilty if you work. And you feel guilty if you stay at home because you're like, oh, well, I'm not bringing an income. Or, it's just like, ugh.
There's literally guilt on both sides.
Right. And if you don't have contentment
in
whatever season you're in, you are just going to live in that guilt.
Yep. And guilt is a breeding ground for resentment.
Right.
That's what worries me about all the, even like the motherhood, and gosh, I could repost it myself, but like the mom guilt memes that, go around, and sometimes they're jokes, sometimes they're serious. And I'm just like, but guilt really is a breeding ground for resentment. So it's like, if you're not parsing that out, I think guilt is always a temptation in parenthood. It's just always going to be there. Sure. I could feel guilty that my kid is terrible at school. I could take him out of school and then feel guilty I didn't let him socialize while he was younger. Like, I don't know.
You literally, society, no matter what you do, you're not doing it right. Someone thinks you're not doing it right.
Someone always thinks you're not doing it right. The question is, do you think you're doing it right? And not in an easy elevator speech of like, oh, I think I am because this, but like, if you actually think you're doing it right, I don't know if you'd feel as guilty about doing it.
Right.
And I've had to really find a confidence in that. Like, first of all, if I feel that guilty, do I need to change something? Am I doing it wrong?
Right.
Do I need to do it differently? But if I really don't, and I'm just letting guilt get to me because I'm letting other people's voices get to me, then maybe I need to change my approach there too, and who I listen to there as well. But all that being said, John and I really try to look at our lives in that, like, 20 years from now mindset. That's one thing that I think helps us. I don't even want to say reroute every single day, every single week, every single month of our lives, because I think it is something, and hear me say that too, this identity piece we're talking about, it ebbs, it flows, it shifts. We have a newborn. Honestly, God, we are going to be wrapped up in that. Like, I don't know how you're not. I mean, it's all consuming.
There's seasons. Yeah. There's seasons of that.
Right. What's been one way that you've been able to battle the guilt for yourself? We've talked about this. You really do struggle with the guilt piece, right?
Sure.
On all fronts, whether it's work, whether it's
life. I honestly think that's just personality trait. At this point, it's just like, in therapy, she's like, I really see a spirit of guilt and shame over you. And you're like, okay, wow, I could have told you that, Like, she's like, oh, the surprise. You're like, I know. And I don't know if that's, like, from childhood or where I just, like, attached to that. Like, or if it was, you know, generation, you know how generation stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, so what was the question again?
How have you fought that?
How have I fought?
Because I feel like it's an ongoing thing. Yeah. I mean, it's ongoing, right? It's not like we literally can give one, feel like two, three.
It's a daily battle.
Yeah.
Because when I'm at home with my kid now on maternity leave, I am thinking, I am feeling guilty about thinking about the internship.
You shouldn't, girl. We got you covered.
I know. But that's the thing. Is that's the thing with guilt, though, is that it just, like, creeps in where it's, like, it's not needed.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'll make out this whole, at the 3 a.m. feeds, you know, when you're sitting there and you're, like, in the dark, just trying to get your kid to just eat.
Sit solving all the world's problems.
And you're like, I am solving all the world's problems right now. And I'm like, I wonder if they've done this. I wonder if they... And I'm like, that's not... I have to, like, go with that control. Like, it's not... I trust you guys. Like, I trust... But there's this guilt of, like, are they going to see me as not...
Committed?
Committed. That's the word. As not committed. As less than, you know, than I should be. I'm like, and I have to keep telling myself, no, I'm on maternity leave. Like, like I set these things up so that I could be on maternity leave. But then there's like, you know, and when I'm at work, I'm like, I have not seen my kids now. but I haven't at before I had, you know, Isaiah. Like I hadn't seen I'd see my kid for like 2 hours a day for 3 days out of the week or whatever. And it's just like, or I just missed him entirely. Like he just slept in. And I just missed him entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just feel guilty the whole way to work.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, and then you feel guilty. And then you're like, then you really try to put on a show when you get home. And they're like, I don't feel connected to you. You know, like then they're like, for some reason, they don't like want to play with you. And you're like, come on, let's play. you're pulling out every, you're like, do you want a lollipop for dinner? You know, like whatever you can get. You know, for them to be, like, just happy and choose you to go to do nighttime with.
Mm-hmm.
Or to, like, I want mommy to put me to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you acknowledge where that might be a season for them and not your fault? Like, could that just be something that they're going through? Like, it's just a stage of life that, like, Benji
totally.
Doesn't want mom. He wants
Mikey. Oh, we went through that daddy season, which it was like, I was like heartbroken.
It's very humbling.
It is so humbling. And he's like, no, I just want daddy. I'm like, okay. But then you get in the season where it's like, mommy, you look like a princess today. And it's just like, you know, like it is like, I want 700 of you. Like you are so precious.
So true.
You know? Like it is so special. And I think I do understand like I, you know, I've been around kids a lot my whole life. And so I know that there are seasons, but even the seasons hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's real.
Even knowing that it's a season hurts.
Sometimes actually easier to blame yourself because it might hurt even a little less. Like, oh, well, it happened because of this, not just like, oh, they're getting older. And that's a developmental thing. Like, sometimes I think we almost
completely
cop out on...
Completely out of your control.
Yeah, completely out of your control. Yeah. Yeah. And it's almost like, well, I feel more control if it is my fault. Rather than, gosh, I am so out of control. And they're just...
Right.
Liam, for a whole week, is going to say, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does. So we love that right now. Right?
I get the, like, I want 700. I don't have any. I have zero.
Yeah, children. But you're like, you're like Aunt Jamie, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, you're like.
But, like, I'm not a kid person. I don't know if you know this.
She talks to Liam like he's 17.
Hi,
Liam. What
but
did
that's
you
probably
say?
Really healthy for Liam. Liam
it
probably
is.
Needs that.
Yeah, it is.
I think kids understand more than you think that they do.
Oh, for sure.
They do. Wow. They just don't know how to articulate it to you.
But when I FaceTime my nephew and he says, hi, Jamie. Like, there is literally nothing better.
There's nothing better.
Or if Liam wants to hang out with me on a Friday night, he's waiting for me to get there.
Which
so
he does.
Can play with beads.
He will. Yeah. And he will.
Kids.
I'm speechless.
Where's Jamie? I don't know. Is Jamie coming
Where's
over?
Jamie?
Did you talk to her?
He's like, call her right now.
When Liam... names every person in the family and I'm in the list.
I know, I remember that. I do remember that. Yeah.
big deal.
It is a big deal.
That's a big deal. She still remembers it. Yeah. It was like a year
She'll
ago.
She'll never forget it. She'll never forget it. Yeah.
That crap sticks with me. It hits home.
Kids are just, they bring you like a just different life.
Yeah.
To, I mean, you look at families. Like, we didn't have kids in our family for like 30 years. My brother had a kid.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah.
And it was just a breath of life. Yeah. And you're like, and I feel like everyone feels that way.
Yeah, it brings so, it can bring so much of family dynamic in a positive way that maybe didn't exist before.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And let us know what you thought of today's episode by tagging us on social media. This is Trendish. We'll see you soon.